Jason, Josh, Fred, and Chris. Four men, four friends. Maybe we'll edit that out. Starts now.
Or like around like the office or the house or something like that. The only thing they're not good for is like if you're gonna go exercise or run or work out, like they'll fall out too easy. But I mean, I really like mine.
The Bose ones are good for working out. Except somehow my dad has blown a bunch of them out. Like I don't know if he just sweats too much or what, but. They work pretty good for like running and stuff.
He has like a ton of ear sweat just
pouring
out. Just frying the earbuds through water damage.
I blew out my normal headphones. I was outside mowing the lawn with goddamn over the ear like podcast headphones. blew one of them out because I was sweating too much and they got too hot.
Man, it's been hotter than hell down here, and where I live in here in South Texas, man, it's been fucking 105 degrees every damn day.
We've been in the 90s. This week, we had a little cold front come in, so it's been in the low 80s, high 70s, so it's been nice, but this whole summer sucked fucking dick.
Yeah, it's been super hot here, man. My little boy wants to always go outside and play, but it's so hot, it's just miserable out there. So we usually haven't been going outside until like 6 p.m. or something.
Dude, my kids do the same shit.
Tolerable.
They'll wake up and they want to go play outside, and they'll be out there for 5 minutes, and they're just like, oh, fuck this, and they want to go inside. Like, it's like an in-and-out game. Like, our fucking electric bill is going to go through the roof with how much they open and close the damn back door.
Man, those electric companies are just fucking stealing from everybody.
Hell yeah.
You try to decide how much your bill is every month. I was looking at my electric bill, dude. It was total bullshit. Like, they're charging us, like, it was like $115 a month or something. Some fee for, like, because our electric company isn't the company who owns the poles and the power lines or whatever that our power comes through. So that's like a fee to the company that owns it.
So they're charging you rent on the fucking.
It doesn't have anything to do with our actual electric bill. And so I tried to see if I could switch to a different one, and I can't because of where my house is. And I was just like,
that's fucking bullshit.
This is a fucking racket.
Dude, why'd you choose to stay in Texas instead of going back? Aren't you from Denver?
Yeah.
Why'd you choose Texas?
Because I'm just a man of adventure, man. Just a rolling stone.
When you got out of the Air Force, did you just stay in did you go home and then, like, decide to go back to Texas, or did you just stay there in Texas?
Well, I just stayed here in Texas. I never went home because I was thinking about right when I was about to get out, one of my other buddies who was getting out, he was saying, well, what are you going to do? Go home and to Colorado and you don't even have a college degree or anything. Like, where are you going to work? What are you going to do? And I was like, I guess I really hadn't put a ton of thought into it, which is like a recipe for disaster for any separating, you know, person. Like, if you're getting out of the military, you got to have a plan, man, because it just people get they fall into, you know, traps like drinking too much and being depressed and shit when people don't have a plan about what they're gonna do. So my friend was like, look, man, if you stay down here in South Texas, like where he was from, he was like, we can work for these drilling companies, the drilling rigs drilling for oil. And he was like, you make like $26 an hour to start out, and then usually do like 7 days on, 7 days off, or 14 days on and then 14 days off. And he said that you do 12-hour shifts, and So basically, by like the third day, you're in overtime making a time and a half. So you just, you can, it's like super hard work, man.
I bet.
And it's just hot as hell, and you're wearing like the full body FR fire resistant suit. And I mean, I'm like 6'1", and I didn't even know they made crescent wrenches that were as big as I am or bigger. You know, a crescent wrench, like you can adjust it, and they make wrenches literally that are like bigger than me, man.
That's fucking comical.
Yeah, so that was some pretty tough work, man. But I stayed down here to do that with him.
And didn't oil like crash like a year later though?
Well, it was like probably like a year and a half later. So me and him were making a killing, dude. Just we were cashing some pretty big paychecks there for a while, because we would work and then people would like call in sick and they try to get us to work extra, and I don't know, we were doing really well. But then the price of oil crashed, and so then I just used my GI Bill and went back to college, and then I graduated from college like about a year ago with my bachelor's degree.
You already had a good amount of credits though, didn't you?
Well, technically,
because you went to school before you joined, didn't you?
Dude, I went to a few different schools. I think I flunked out of like three different colleges before I joined the military.
Jesus Christ.
So I got a football scholarship right out of high school to go to a smaller school. It was I won't name it, but it was a Christian school, and like all kinds of stuff was against the rules, like drinking, tobacco, pot. And
yeah, that wouldn't work for you.
When I was an 18-year-old, I didn't fit in there. And they were like, dude, this wasn't just regular like Christian values. This was like a super, they're Nazarene. That's what it's called. And like they didn't even believe, like they would have school dances and nobody's allowed to dance because they don't believe in that. They think it's like a sin or something.
Arm length apart bullshit.
Everybody would get all dressed up and go to these dances, and there's like no dancing or anything. Like everybody just like sits around. And like me and my buddy were coming back to the dorm smelling like weed and shit, and yeah, it was just didn't really work out for me there. So
yeah, you weren't big on rules.
I was never good at following the rules, man.
Remember that time we were in the day room or whatever the fuck they called it, doing roll call, and you had to dip in, and at that time you weren't allowed to have tobacco in the building, even if it was dip, and you told the fucking NCO that it was a condom?
Dude, okay, so we came back late, and I was sitting in the very back, and you're not supposed to have dip in, and this guy, Sergeant Ruiz, he had these, like, little beady eyes. And he always wore glasses, and I'm like,
I remember.
You can tell by looking at him, like, this motherfucker has bad eyes. All the way in the back of this huge room is where I was sitting, and I was like, he can't look like four, like, I don't know, how far was that? It was way back there.
It was a big-ass room, because we packed, like 80 dudes in there.
Like, yeah, so I just figured he couldn't see me, or, like, see the dip in my lip. But, yeah, so we come back from being down on the Riverwalk and just hammered his fucking hell, just like every weekend, just getting shit faced down there. And so I put in like probably like half a can of chew in there in the lower lip, and I just thought that he wouldn't be able to see it. And then he just, I was trying to like look down at the floor and like keep my like lower half of my face behind the other people's heads that were in front of me. And so just by, I guess, just bad luck, he just he glanced up and looked at me right when he called my name, and I said I was there. And then he was like, "What is that? Do you have tobacco in your mouth?" And I was like, "No." and then he told me to come up to the front of the room, and everybody was like just staring at me. And I just remember like taking it into my mouth and just gulping it down. I just fucking swallowed like half a can of chew. Right, and everybody watched me do it too. Like this whole room full of guys watched me do it, and everybody was like, "Oh!" And I went up there and he was like, open your mouth. And I did. And I didn't have any chew in my mouth. And he got all pissed off. And then I had to go and stand outside of his office. He finished like calling the accountability and he made me stand outside of his office for like 20 or 30 minutes. And he was like, oh, I'm going to wait until he throws up. And so I was standing out there and my stomach never even got upset. I don't know why. Like,
because you're used to it and you were drunk.
Yeah. And I just remember he was talking to one of the other guys who, in his office. I could hear him saying like, well, why hasn't he thrown up yet? And he was like, well, I don't know, sir. I guess he's just a man. I was like, yeah, I don't know, man. He was so fucking pissed off about that though. And yeah. I just remember that huge fucking chunk of dip that I just swallowed just act like I wasn't chewing. And I hated that Sergeant Ruiz. He was a fucking douchebag.
Wait, but was that the time you told him it was a fucking condom or something that you were sucking out of, or something stupid? I remember there was something stupid about it. Like he wanted a fucking answer or something real bad.
I don't remember what I said really at the time. I just remembered that I swallowed it and then I never got sick and it pissed him off.
It was either you or someone else, but they were like, they got caught with dip in the building. They told him they were sucking on a condom, like a flavored condom. He's like, what the fuck?
That, I think, yeah, that does sound, I think maybe that was me. Yeah, I don't know, man. I had a good time over there.
It's a lot of stupid shit that happened there. You think McDonald?
Well, yeah, man.
I'm not gonna say his name. I'll edit that out. But do you think he ever made it out of there, like without going to prison?
No, I'm pretty sure he went to. I don't know, man. He definitely got a dishonorable discharge or something. That guy was in tons of trouble, man.
He had CID or whatever. What's it called? What was it called in there? OSI? Was that their version of CID?
Little bitches,
the fucking investigator assholes.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I think it's CSI. Maybe that sounds familiar. But
or
yeah,
OSI or something. In the army, it's called
OSI.
CID.
Is it Yeah, I don't know. It's some weird acronym, but yeah, dude. Once they asked me some questions about McDonald, because that one time after you had surgery and then. He like stole some of your pain pills.
Yeah. Remember? And he tried to say I was selling them. They came and picked me up in the middle of the goddamn night and fucking interrogated me like I was fucking selling drugs or something. And he like said a bunch of whole, I'm not going to get too far into it on a podcast, but he accused me of doing a bunch of shit. Kyle, a couple other people. I don't want to throw everyone's name out there, but he accused us of doing a whole bunch of fucking shit. So I got pulled in the middle of the fucking night and, like, straight up interrogated. And then 2 days later, I got pulled back there by that fucking staff CQ NCO. And they made me go back to OSI and talk to them. They didn't believe anything I was saying. I was like, why the fuck? First of all, why would I sell my pain pills after I just had fucking surgery? Like I needed those fucking pain pills. I would not fucking sell them to them. They just would not believe me. And then McDonald's. Keep saying his fucking name, but he keeps getting caught doing a bunch of other stupid ass shit, and they're still like, I think it was like a month later they finally believed my story.
Yeah, dude, one time after I talked to those undercover Air Force police douchebags, fucking, it was about that, and they just asked me some questions about like, did I see McDonald like take any of your medicine and stuff like that. But once I figured out who they were, I would notice that like whenever we were out at bars,
remember at the beer garden, they were fucking there.
They would just be lurking around, just watching in you know, regular clothes. They look like a regular Joe.
Yeah. That gas station right outside the main gate, they'd be fucking, when we'd sit out there, they'd drive by constantly.
Yeah.
They were on our fucking asses for a good 2 months, at least 2 months.
Yeah, they were, dude. You know what the problem is they just have several, they have a bunch of people that do that, and everybody that's in the Air Force, they've they've already passed the background check. They don't have any serious criminal history or they wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
You know, they've already passed the drug test or several. There's a very small amount of crime going down on at least Lackland Air Force Base. Like, there's definitely still some, you know?
Well, there's
people,
like,
people get in fights with their wives, people steal shit, people, you know, there's different stuff that happens. But I'm just saying that it's a lot less than society in general. You know what I mean?
I mean, we committed because, some so-called crimes. Like, according to the UCMJ.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
But so, not what we were being accused of, or at least not what I was being accused of doing. They were trying to get me on some serious shit.
False allegations.
They were trying to bust people on fucking DUIs, and we were taking taxis everywhere, too.
Dude, I'm just telling you, dude, they're fucking bored. They're trying to just find people and get them in trouble for shit.
Yeah, it's like, did you see that Eddie Gallagher shit that went on last year?
Yeah, man, they just railroaded him. And that, dude, I've known that military justice is that way for a long time. Because it's not, a lot of people, regular civilians, they don't understand how the UCMJ works. And it's not like you're innocent until proven guilty and shit like that. Like, they say you are, but really the commander, if the commander says you're guilty and they want to throw you in the brig, they can just throw you in jail if they want to. And if you get convicted of something, but the commander just wants to let it slide, then he can just also let it go. It's pretty much like, I don't know, man.
But dude, when I saw that case, I was like, 100% they're trying to fuck him over. Because I, like, not to the magnitude that he was in it, but I was in a similar situation like that. Where it was like, they try to get you on some petty shit and then turn it into something big to, like, fuck you over for no reason. Just to have, it's like they're just bored and want something to do. And so it's like, I knew they were trying to fuck him over the first time I heard it, because it sounded exactly like how these assholes at Medina acted, or Lackland. Like, yeah. It was like, it's like that same mentality where they're just fucking cunts. Like, they try to, they find one little petty thing, and then they, like, with us, following us around everywhere we went. Like, that was fucking, like, they were just looking for something to try to have something to do, I guess, or have someone to arrest.
Yeah, I know, man. It's, and because they have basic training there and stuff, it, I don't know. I just feel like those guys are bored and they don't have enough to do at that base. And so they
went after instructors there, too. Like, I think it was 2 years later, they tried to go after an instructor for, what's it fucking called? What do they call it? Hazing or whatever.
Huh.
I think they had a hang up with Medina in general.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You got to think, all those dudes are fucking military police, or like security forces prior to getting that position. And those guys are a bunch of fucking cunts in general.
Yeah, they are, dude. We used to talk so much shit about them. Like, you know, the swim coach, a lot of people that have gone through the pararescue training, or most of the training over there at
Garcia?
No, not Garcia. But they, the swim coach, he used to he would be showing us how to do a freestyle stroke, and he would have us all hold our arms up, and then like a minute would go by and people would put their arms down, and he would be like, pick your fucking arms up. If you're too weak to hold your arms up, then go join fucking security forces. Why don't you act like you want to be here?
Do you remember the fucking chow hall or the DFAC? They'd fuck with the security forces dudes because they do their little field training at Medina. It's like the instructors would give them fucking hell for going too slow and shit and just fuck with them the whole damn time.
Yeah, dude. Those guys are a bunch of goobers. I would never like to just sit around and guard a gate or do stupid shit like they do.
No, and when they deploy, that's all they do too, which is fucking bullshit. They set up roadblocks. They fucking do gate guard shit. They work with the fucking Afghanis that like are contracted out to work at the gates and like Bagram and shit.
Yeah.
It's just not. That's like the least desirable job I think you could do in the military. I'd rather be a fucking cook.
Dude, I saw a meme. It was something about like this little kid asked their dad, or no, it was like some guy asked another guy if he'd ever killed anybody when he was in the military, and he said I was a cook, so probably. I don't know.
Dude, the cooks aren't that bad, at least in the Army. It's the we get raped to the MREs.
The Air Force defects I thought were pretty decent, man. We always had like chicken breast and salad, and
they were leaps and bounds above what we get in the Army. Like, people always talk shit about Air Force defects, like saying it's like nice as shit and all this stuff. But it, like, from being in the Air Force and then going to the Army, dude, it's literally night and day difference. Like, they actually put effort, I think, into the food they cooked in the Air Force, and they had civilians that worked there that did a good job. Army, it was a whole different fucking story. One, the defects were fucking old as shit. Like, the buildings were fucking decrepit. And nobody gave a fuck. Like, your food would be overcooked or undercooked. You wouldn't ever get enough food. It all tasted like shit. The best food we get is literally when we go out to the field, and they're basically like gigantic MREs. But I don't know, man. There's definitely a massive difference between Air Force defects and Army chow halls.
Yeah, I never thought it was like that bad. It was actually good on certain days when they would have like certain dishes, but I mean, if you eat in one place for long enough, you're just going to get tired of it. But I mean,
yeah.
I never thought the quality of food was too poor.
One of the big differences is in, like, our defect in Air Force had more options versus, like, the Army defect. We don't have even close amount of options. Like, I think we had, what, like, three or four lines? Like, they had a cold line that was, like, subs and salads and shit like that, and they had a hot line. And then they had, like, one that was, like, you could just go through and grab, like, they'd have wings or pizza or whatever. Like, all the Army defects I've been to, it's typically just one line, and they'll have, like, three different items to choose from. Where we had, like, 8 to 10, I think, on a given, like, day. I didn't eat dinner there much, but lunch and breakfast, I feel like we had more options.
Dude, I forget what I liked over there, but they had, like, I don't know if it was lasagna or something that was always really good, and it came with garlic bread. And then on days, if they had something you didn't like, they always had just grilled chicken breast and the salad bar every day. So you could just eat vegetables and salad and chicken breast every day if you wanted to, or if you didn't like.
They offered healthier options. Dude, when we're out in the field in the Army, it's like we get the most unhealthy shit imaginable. And it's insane. Like, especially when you're out in the field, you have no choice. It's just one thing that they offer you to eat, and it's normally like the most unhealthy shit. It's like fucking mashed potatoes, chicken, or it's like fucking pasta or something. It, I don't know. And then you're eating MREs fucking most days. At least two of your meals are going to be MREs, and a lot of times it's three of your meals. And that shit, it makes me constipated as fuck, and those are unhealthy as hell to eat.
Have you ever thought about trying to do anything else in the Army, like go to the Q course or something?
It's in the works right now. Q course is out for me now, I think, with my arm. But I'm thinking about reclassing next year, next summer. I've been talking to the retention NCO.
Nice.
I'm highly considering civil affairs right now. I want to do the Q course. The biggest issue is, I think, one, I'll get denied for my arm because I've lost feeling a portion of my hand and my entire forearm. And plus, I got metal from my fucking wrist to my elbow. So I don't think I'm going to get cleared to actually go through selection. But I think I can get into civil affairs. I'm pretty sure. But I'm working on that right now.
Well, nice, man. Yeah.
I've been trying to go to fucking Ranger school. I got out of shape as fuck for like a year. I just stopped giving a shit. Like, after I got separated, I was fucking eating like shit. Had no motivation to really work out like more than just like the minimum. And then, like last year I started working my ass off. I got probably the best shape I've ever been in my life. And I tried to put in for Ranger school. They passed a thing around asking if people wanted to go, and then funding reasons it fell through. So no one got to go. But we had, like, at that point in time, my unit had a lot of extra money. We were coming into, like, October, and that's the end of the fiscal year. So whenever they have an excess of money, that's, like, your best chance to get schools and stuff. They'll start slotting people. We had a commander change. And so when that new commander came in September, he kind of took all that shit away. And he, like, put the funding to something else, which we didn't ever realize what he was putting the funding to. We just thought that money just fucking disappeared. But a year later, a year and a half later, we finally got fucking new vehicles and shit. So I guess that's where it went. But yeah, I tried to do that, but I was in really good shape. So that time I was really considering Q course. At one point, for like a month, I was convinced I was going to fucking go into the Navy and try buds. But I dropped that idea because, one, I didn't want to go through the process of trying to go into another branch of the military. And two, like, that was basically it. It was just, it would have been too much shit to get out of the Army and then try to enlist in the Navy. My wife didn't like that idea. So I was highly considering Q course. And then after I got hurt, I was like, man, fuck this. I was also looking at some contracting options. I was in touch with two different recruiters from two different companies to work at an embassy in Afghanistan. But after I got hurt, I had to pull my fucking application.
Well,
but now I think civil affairs is going to be my way to go.
Yeah, I used to drink at the bar outside of the gate with the civil affairs guys at Lackland. Those guys they're in the bar every day, man. Even on all the time. Like Tuesday night, they're in there drinking.
In the Army, their civil affairs and PSYOPs fall under SOCOM. So they get to do some cool shit. But I want to do something different. I've gotten a fucking head injury and shit doing what I'm doing now, and I'm just kind of over it. I'm kind of over. Oh, I'm not going to talk too much shit. Oh, I'm getting in trouble. I'm just kind of over it, you know? And this whole deployment thing, getting off ramps pissed me off real bad.
Yeah,
especially,
man.
Since, well, like, half of my fucking unit, like, went and deployed last year, so they just came home. And we were going to deploy right at the time they were about to come home. And then I got off-ramped, so I'm like, this is just fucking bullshit. I've been off-ramped 3 times in the last 2 years, I think. So it's like, I don't know, I've gotten my whole life in order. Especially being divorced and having kids, you got to go through, make a whole new parenting agreement, submit it with the courts. You got to do your power of attorneys. Like, you go through all this bullshit, and then they off-ramp you, and it's like, you're just kind of fucked. Then you have to go through a whole other process to change all that shit that you just had signed and submitted. And it, like, it's fucked my life up a couple times.
Yeah, dude, I'm trying to get into law school right now. I'm applying to several different law schools right now, so.
That'd be a good move.
Yeah, because the law has always been really interesting to me, and so, like, I've taken the LSAT, and I'm applying to different schools in my area right now, and hopefully by next August, I'll be starting school. That's the plan anyways, because I got to get out of the job that I'm in now, man. It's just...
What do you do?
High stress. I can't talk about it on here.
No.
Because... Yeah, it's a state agency, and I've already said where I live, and so I don't want to say anything too bad. But yeah, that's the plan for now, man, is to go to law school, and then I just went and got a hunting license and stuff today. In Texas, you get all kinds of cool benefits for being a disabled vet. Like, you get like free hunting and fishing licenses for life. You get decreased property taxes. You get like these DV license plates, and then there's tolls all over the place by Houston and Austin, and you can just drive through the tolls like in the express lane, and they just don't charge you, and there's lots of different cool stuff. So I'm about to start doing some duck hunting and stuff. I went duck hunting a bunch last year, and I shot a bunch of ducks, and it's kind of just a good like stress relief for me, I guess.
A lot of people are moving to Texas now.
Well, you know why? It's because everybody's tired of all the bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And here taxes, in Texas,
they don't charge income tax, right?
No, we don't have a state income tax here. So, yeah, that's one obvious huge benefit. But then some of the other benefits are just the, like, we have a Republican governor.
Yeah.
And there's a, we just don't put up with a lot of stuff that they do put up with in other states. And also there's a lot of land out here, man. Texas is huge, and you can get a lot for your money here in some certain places. Like this house that I'm in, that I live in right now, it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house, and I got a decent backyard and stuff like that. Like this house would probably be like 4 or 5 times more expensive in Denver, where I'm from.
Oh, hell yeah. Denver's taxes are high as fuck too.
Yeah, man. So people from all like different big cities are finding out, like, do you want to pay like $900,000 for a super tiny shack in the area that you live in, or do you want to go buy a fucking mansion for that money in Texas? Like, you know, you just get a lot more bang for your buck here in a lot of different ways.
So I got a decent sized house. It's definitely not as cheap as where you live, but it's decent. But we're renting it, so I mean, renting fucking sucks in general. I'm trying to do a VA loan, hopefully beginning of next year, and buy a house.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a great benefit, man, that you should take advantage of. Because really,
I talked to him a couple years ago, which I'm glad I didn't, because it was right before I got separated. But it was a pretty sweet process. The only downside to a VA loan is they're super strict about where you buy your house. They're strict as hell about the house. Like, they send their own inspector out and everything, and they can literally tell you, no, you're not allowed to buy that. So you can't buy a house. Like, if you got to do any work to it, they won't approve the loan.
Dude, they have, in Texas, they have home loans for veterans that are through the state.
Are you serious?
So, yeah. And they also have their own GI Bill through the state. It's called the Hazelwood Act.
Yeah, we've got that too here.
Yeah, they have that. I mean,
like my kids, I'd have to fact check it, but I'm pretty sure if my kids go to a school, an in-state school, the government covers a portion of it. I don't know if I get any benefits. I know they have the Minuteman scholarship here, where if you go to, you got to do ROTC, which I would never fucking do. I have like zero interest in being an officer, but they cover like, I think, all of your tuition if you go to ROTC.
You microwaving something over there, big dog?
No, I was grabbing a drink.
Nice. Well, how's the married life?
Oh, it's pretty good. It's weird. I mean, it's no, like, it's, it hasn't, nothing's changed, because me and her lived together prior to getting married. So it was like, we got married, came home, and it was like just another day. Like, we woke up the next day, and it was like it felt different that we had just gotten married, but like, I feel like our lives are exactly the same as before. I will say this, though, it's a fucking hell of a lot easier to get married than it is to get divorced. Dude, it took us like a fucking afternoon to get all this paperwork to get married. To get divorced was like a fucking, it took months.
I've seen that be pretty long and painful process for some people, especially when they start fighting over the kids and shit.
Dude, it took us 3 years in total. Like, so you got to wait a year after getting separated, and then a bunch of shit happened. We just could not agree on fucking anything, so we had to go to court about, like, custody and all this shit. That delayed it, and then when we finally did do all the paperwork, it took another, like, 6 months to get it finalized. I think my fucking divorce got finalized, like, 3 days before my wedding.
Wow.
Yeah. We're cutting it close. Dude, as fuck.
I don't know why the divorce, well, I do know why, but the divorce rate is just high as hell in the military. It's like two or three times what it is in the civilian population, and it's pretty high already in the civilian population.
Dude, I know more people that have gotten divorced than I know people that are still married.
Dude, I know people that are like 25 or 26 and they've been divorced twice.
Holy shit. I mean, yeah, it's fucking, man. There's stress to it. Especially, well, I mean, now it's not as
being
bad.
Away from one another, and
the deployment tempo has gone down significantly, so it's less stressful now. But when deployment tempo was high as hell, there were divorces left and right. And then you'd have guys that'd be deployed for fucking 9 months to a year, and all they're doing is worrying about what their fucking wife is doing at home. Like, they're just, like, consumed by it.
Yeah, dude. That, I've seen a lot of guys just fall victim to exactly what you're talking about. Like, they would be so consumed with what's going on at home and arguing with their girlfriend or wife or whoever, and they
checking social media every 5 minutes, like fucking, like creeping on their fucking wife.
Yeah, man,
getting pissed off exactly over who she's fucking following. Like, it's just a like, it fucks people up really bad. Like, I've seen people have had to go talk to a fucking chaplain, doing field training, like, we're only gone for a couple weeks. And they fucking had to go talk to a chaplain and shit.
Well, yeah, dude, you get yourself into an interesting headspace sometimes. Just because of
the fucked up thing is, I like talked a lot of people out of shit, like telling them, "Oh, you're good, dude. Nothing's going on. It's just your mind playing tricks on you." And then in the meantime, that shit that they were worried about was actually happening to me when I was married the first time. It's like funny as fuck.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, man, it just takes like a very special individual to be able to like go long periods of time away from their significant other and not cheat on them and not do a lot of those types of things. And unfortunately, a lot of people just aren't that caliber of human being.
Then the weird thing is that some of the toughest dudes you know will just be fucking torn up about what the fuck's going on at home. It's like yeah. I don't know, man. That's like the one thing that just, that'll fucking take any, it's like the Achilles heel for some of the toughest motherfuckers out there.
Dude, yeah. One of my brothers is pretty much exactly like that, man. He's just like a badass, but it seems like he just lets his wife have all the say-so in their relationship.
Well, I'm the same way. Which is for the better, well, dude. I'm telling you, I wouldn't pay a fucking bill. Like, a single bill would not get paid if it wasn't for my wife. Like, she keeps track of all that shit. She keeps track of all the spending, like I don't know. I'm just not capable. Like, I don't have the personality for that shit. Like, I constantly forget to fucking pay my car payment and shit.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about, man. I'm not exactly the most fiscally responsible person myself.
I'll spend money when I shouldn't be spending money. Just not even thinking, like, not even thinking about it at all. Just fucking, oh, I want to buy this, and I'll just fucking do it. My wife will have to be like, oh, we got bills to pay. Oh, shit, you're right. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, dude, I do that all. Last year, I bought myself a $1,500 shotgun one day because, like, duck season was starting, and I was like, oh, man, I really want this Benelli shotgun, and I got it. I don't know. I've done a few pretty irresponsible things.
But you could have just gone for a used one or something. Fucking way cheaper than $1,500. You definitely didn't need a Benelli to go out duck hunting.
Dude, I already had a shotgun that I've used for years, and it works great.
What was it?
It was a Remington 870. It's just a pump 12-gauge shotgun, but it's really – they're super cheap, man. I think you can.
I hate pumps,
dude. You can buy a new one for like $300 or something, about $300. But they're really, the thing about the pump shotguns is that you're not gonna have any problems with them. Like the rate of malfunctions for like a Remington 870 is like almost unheard of. You know, if your gun gets dirty, you just rack that thing a little bit harder, man, and it will feed a new shell in there. But with like a lot of the expensive semi-automatics, like, yeah, it's super nice to be able to, you know, take a few shots in a row without even really like you can still be looking right down the bead and just boom, 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 you know what I mean, without pumping the shotgun. But the trade-off is that most of those, in my experience, when they get just a tiny bit of, you know, grime or sand or dirt or whatever in them, they'll start not feeding the way that they're supposed to and fucking up. And I mean, it depends on what you're doing. Like if you miss a duck or something because your shotgun won't feed, it's kind of a pain in the ass. But for like self-defense purposes or stuff like that, A lot of police departments, I've noticed, they have the Remington 870s.
I've got a Beretta semi-automatic. It's a 20 gauge, but my grandpa bought it for me when I was like 13 or 14. And I've had no problems with that. Like, I still have it, and that thing shoots perfectly. As long as you keep it clean, it does not jam. Like, I used to go out and shoot sporting clays with it, and you could put 200 rounds through it, not jam once. And it wasn't an expensive gun at all.
Yeah, I mean, dude, there's plenty of great semi-auto guns. I guess, like, you have to be really, really pushing it to get them dirty enough to have stuff like that happen to them. Like, some of the hunting trips I've been on where we're out in the field and we're hunting for, like, three days in a row. And it's raining or snowing, and it gets dropped in the water, and it gets dropped in the mud or something. And I don't know, just if the wind is blowing and it's really dusty, some of those dirt particles, like, they just have a way of attaching themselves to the oil inside of a gun.
If you're disciplined about cleaning, like, if you go home that night and you make it a point to clean it before you go to bed, that gun's going to last forever. As long as you don't let that fucking carbon build up where you go out and shoot it a couple days in a row and that shit starts building up real bad and it gets fucking hard, you're not going to have any type of issue. Like, I'm pretty strict about cleaning a gun. It could be from the military, but also my grandpa was super strict about it. If we ever went out and shot, we had to clean it before we could go to sleep. Like, he was real strict about, like, taking care of a gun.
Well, yeah, I know what you're saying. I clean mine after, like, every trip, not every night, but, like, after every trip. But I have a Glock that I've never cleaned a single time before, and I've had it for, like, several years. I've shot, like, hundreds of rounds, maybe even thousands of rounds through it. And, dude, it's never fucking malfunctioned a single time. And I've never taken it apart and cleaned it a single time. That's and insane. I feed it like the, you know, they have that cheap, shitty ammo. That's the casings aren't made out of brass, because you know, that polished brass is a lot easier for a gun to feed. Yeah. But they have some cheapo ammo that's like stamped steel or something. And it's just like a dull gray silver, and it's like super cheap stuff. But
it's like that shit a lot they of sell guns, at the gun clubs.
Yeah, like a lot of guns don't like it, and it will not feed correctly and stuff sometimes. And dude, that the Glock, I'm just a big fan of Glock in general. I love the Glock 19 and the Glock 23. They'll just eat up like the most garbage ammo, full of dirt and gunk and shit, and they just keep firing, man.
Dude, are both your brothers still in, or did they get out?
No, my brother Ryan is out, and now he is living in, he lives in Colorado. And then my brother Gavin is in a National Guard unit for the Air Force or Air Force Guard.
Yeah. He's a. So, do you care if I say what he does, or is that?
No, it's all right.
All right. So he's a PJ. So he's probably in one of like North Carolina or Florida or Texas, right?
Yeah, and yeah. So he's still doing that. He's recovering still a little bit from getting. He had the top half of his body sticking out of an MRAP. He was attached to a unit from, I think it was 5th Special Forces Group.
Yeah.
And what was it about? It was last year, but there was a big battle, and they went to take back Ghazni, Afghanistan, and they got into it pretty good, and they had like a 3 or 4 day like firefight that basically went down, and several people got killed and a lot of people got injured. And so he had the top half of his body sticking out of this MRAP, and somebody came out and shot a RPG at him, and it hit the vehicle, like I think it was the hatch cover right next to his face, like less than a foot away from his face, and it blew up and basically like the whole one side of his, like left side of his face and shoulder and neck just got really messed up. And I don't know, but he ended up like keeping fighting for a while before,
which is crazy too, because wasn't he like one of the lead medics being a PJ?
Yeah, they have their own medic. Each ODA has their own medic, and then he was
so nothing against those guys, like, but they're not on par medically with the pararescue men.
Dude, like, I think they are, man. They're really good at what they do. And his buddy that was there with him treated him, and then he got sent out of there and went to Germany and then back to the United States. But we went to go see him when that happened, and he was back in the United States within like 3 days of getting his face all fucking torn up. And like, they had already given him like a few different surgeries to take out metal and stuff out of his face and his shoulder. But we were like hanging out in Las Vegas, and people were, cause he was from a unit from Las Vegas. And we went there and we were staying in one of the casinos and playing blackjack and just having ourselves a good time, and people were like looking at his face and stuff like, oh, what happened to you? And he's like, I got shot in the face with a rocket a couple days ago.
That's badass as hell. And he didn't get any like real treatment until they got back, right?
Well, they operated on him in country one time to take most of the stuff out, and then after that, I think he didn't get anything else until he came back to the United States. And now I think he's had like 6 or 7 surgeries, but he's had a really awesome recovery, and you can barely even tell now.
No, dude, he looks exactly the same.
Dude, okay, so he had a broken nose just because as kids we would always roughhouse, and like we all played football and lacrosse and wrestled, and you know, we were pretty rowdy kids growing up. So his nose had been broken like I think 3 different times. So, you know, when you look at like some hockey players or UFC fighters or different people, like their nose is like so crooked and weird and fucked up.
Like, looks like they got like a ball that in the middle of
it. It was like broken and crooked to the left and then like crooked back to the right again. It was like going like 3 different ways, man. And but because of this injury, he the Air Force gave him like a rhinoplasty, like a nose job, and
damn,
they fixed him up really good. And you know that laser that they use to remove tattoos?
Yeah.
I guess it's also good for scar tissue. So he's gone to a bunch of laser treatments, and they've treated all these scars and marks all over his face and pretty much gotten rid of them. You have to get really close to his face and like look pretty hard, and you can see like a bird shot pattern kind of on one side of his face. But considered like what it looked like to begin with, he's like super, super lucky. And
yeah, I had to talk to a plastic surgeon, came in when I was in the hospital. I think it was after my 5th surgery, because they were thinking they were going to have to do a skin graft because I had compartment syndrome, so they couldn't close the wound on my forearm. And they were talking about doing the laser. They were like, we can do a skin graft and then hit it with a laser and it'll kind of, you know, blend it a little better so it won't look as fucked up, basically. And luckily, they didn't have to do the skin graft. I think they were going to take a chunk of my thigh and put it on my arm. And after the 6th surgery, the surgeon was able to get it closed enough to where, like, if they just did one more, they could get it closed all the way. So I didn't need the skin graft. But my whole arm was going to be fucking pieces of my thigh, basically. And but luckily the swelling went down. That's exactly what he told me he was going to do, was do the skin graft and then basically on the edges hit it with a laser like they do for tattoo removals, kind of blend it.
Dude, did you try to beat off when you were in the hospital with your arm all fucked up?
Fuck no.
Was that your dominant arm? Was that the hand that you usually use for?
No, luckily I'm left-handed. This is my right arm. So I got lucky with that, but when I was in the hospital, I was on so many fucking drugs, I couldn't.
What happened to your arm? Didn't you? Was that
It's still ongoing, so I'm not going to talk about it here.
Okay, yeah, no worries.
I'm going to do a podcast about it when all this shit is over. But yeah, I mean, there was some bullshit involved.
Yeah,
I'm definitely going to do a podcast about that. And I think I'm going to do a podcast about my nut, too, in the same. I'm going to do I'm going to do my arm, my nut, in the same podcast. Cause I haven't told that story yet. But I'm going to do it, make it a whole podcast. Because both those stories are kind of crazy.
Dude, it's comedy gold, the story about what you were doing before you got the surgery.
Dude, that shit looked like a fucking basketball. But don't give too much away, because okay, I want to do a podcast about it.
Yeah, those are good times, man.
That was the most manly fucking thing I've ever done in my life, though.
But yeah, man, that was pretty fucking manly. But maybe you should have went sooner.
Yeah, I would. I lost the fucking testicle.
I know, but I'm saying maybe like you wouldn't have if you like just went sooner.
I think I was fucked to begin with. But I'm waiting to tell that story because that's part of my, I'm doing a med board right now. So that's involved in it. So I don't want to put too much out there so they can use something again. Was in the army. He got medically retired But he's an Iraq vet. It's pretty cool. He's an artillery guy.
Nice.
I'm trying to get people from the Army on here, but it's been a pain in the fucking ass. A lot of my buddies just got back from deployment, and then some of them are getting ready to deploy.
Oh, really?
This has kind of been a shitty time.
Huh. So
and then I got two buddies. Yeah, I'm in North Carolina. But I got two buddies that are in the Ranger Regiment. I've been trying to get them on, but they're fucking sketched out about doing it, especially after people have been getting in trouble on social media and stuff.
Yeah, dude. That's usually a big no-no. Everybody gets their pee-pee smacked for...
It's like, I gotta be careful about shit I say, but, I mean, I use the word cunt a little bit too much in one of our podcasts. That's the only thing I think would be an issue, but they're fucking cracking down hard on people on social media, but I don't think the Army's caught on to the whole podcast thing yet, so they're not too strict on it.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Most people in my unit know I do a podcast, but, I mean, nobody's going to fucking report me or anything, but not guys from my unit.
Yeah, I saw that thing about that second lieutenant who was making jokes about Jews, and so he's getting kicked out now?
I guess that's what they're saying, is he could potentially get dishonorably discharged. He has to meet with the chief of staff of the Army. So, like, you know you fucked up if you got to meet with the chief of staff. And he's only been in the Army, I want to say, like, 4 months. So he's fucked up big time. But you got to know, like, think back. Like, remember we were in the Air Force, we'd have fucking briefings every single Friday. Bare minimum, at least one briefing a week about shit. Like, social media, they weren't too big on back then. But now it's like we have social media briefs all the time, like shit you can say online. We have fucking SHARP, which I can't remember what it was called in the Air Force. I think it was SARC, the sexual assault thing. And and then Equal Opportunity. We have those briefings fucking like once a month.
Dude, those briefings are so much – they're just bullshit, man. Like, but they just hammered us with so much of that sexual assault training and videos. By the time I left basic training, I was convinced that there are absolutely no situations in which having sex is okay.
Dude, I think everyone felt the same way. Dude, they made it seem like you gotta fucking almost have written consent from your wife if you want to have sex with her. Like, that's like how fucking far they've taken it. And we get these briefings. I mean, I'm telling you, minimum once a month we'll have these fucking briefings. The coronavirus hit, we were doing fucking Zoom or like a, what's it called? Phone conference fucking calls about Equal Opportunity and SHARP and all this shit.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
It's fucking bullshit. I mean, it makes sense, like, because that has been an issue in the military, like sexual assaults and stuff like that. And, of course, if you're in the military, you shouldn't be racist or treat people differently because they're of their race or religion, but I don't know.
Yeah, well...
But this fucking second lieutenant, being it, like, he should know better. Because I don't know how... what's it called? OCS? The officer candidate school. I don't know how that goes, but I'm going to assume it's pretty similar to basic training where they have briefings about this shit fucking weekly like we did. Like, he should know not to go on fucking TikTok and make a Jew joke. Like, that's the dumbest fucking thing, especially being an officer where you're going to be in charge of a fucking company size or a platoon size element where you could have a Jewish person in your platoon. Like, you shouldn't fucking do shit like that.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a good joke, dude. It was like about burning Jews, and it was like corny and just cheesy as fuck. It was terrible.
Yeah,
and the guy, I don't know. I was looking at, I saw the video, and then I was looking at his like little profile. Apparently, he had like quite a bit of followers. So
we're not even supposed to use TikTok, too. Like, on top of all of that, Like, they literally put a ban on TikTok for military personnel because it's run by
China.
Yeah,
because it's... Yeah, the Chinese government is running that.
So you're going to be a fucking officer and then get on... Use TikTok and you know you're not supposed to. And you're the one that's supposed to be telling your soldiers not to use TikTok. Which, a second lieutenant, realistically, they probably don't have any soldiers at this point in time. But still, I mean... You're supposed to set the example. And that's how, I think that's kind of how the Army's looking at it. Like, how are you going to expect your Joes to not do this shit when you're online doing it and you've got fucking 2 million followers or whatever he had?
Yeah, I don't know, man. But I'm, dude, I think it will be good to ban TikTok from the United States. Like, because all these people that are just jumping on that platform and stuff, and I'm sure there are, you know, a lot of benefits to that, and it's cool and it's entertaining or whatever. But at the end of the day, if something's run by the Chinese government, we can't be having that here.
No. You know? And the Chinese government forces people, like businesses, to share information with them. So they can take any information they want off your phone or computer and share it with the Chinese government. I think that's the biggest issue.
Dude, that's why Highway Electronics are banned from the United States. Like, you know, there's like a big electronics and communications company that
and they make
none
phones.
Of their devices are allowed here. Yeah,
their
they
phones
make phones
are like,
and not
compete with Apple. Like, they would sell well if the Chinese government wasn't so fucked up.
Well, yeah, but dude, they are our enemies. And yeah. we can't be allowing them to spy on everybody in the United States. Like, all these libs in the media are so they act like Russia is so scary and, you know, Russia's our enemy and we should be scared of them. Like, dude,
China's way worse.
Yeah, Russia doesn't even have a functioning aircraft carrier in their military, and like their economy is doing terrible. But China is like a huge country, man, and their economy is growing rapidly, and I mean I think they're more of a threat to the United States than Russia is.
And like, if you're in the military and you're using shit like that, it totally goes against OPSEC, and they can fucking send you to prison for sharing fucking orders with people. Like, you can't take a picture of your fucking orders and post them on Facebook. Like, you can go to fucking jail for that shit. But you got all these people using TikTok and they just don't give a fuck. And whenever you go on TikTok, it's always fucking privates or, like, in this guy's case, a fucking second lieutenant. Like, it's always new people that just joined the military that want to use, like, being in the military to get more followers.
Yeah, that's stupid, man.
And China's a big issue, too, because they're pretty connected to North Korea. And I don't think people realize this, but 2 years ago, we were almost went to war with North Korea. My whole unit got fucking split up in the Army created this new, like, task force type of deal. Where it was like a global response force, which they've had for years. It was like a new version of that where they were trying to create more global response forces. So they split up my unit. And we embedded with a couple other units, like guys from my unit did. And we all got sent out to fucking Fort Knox for this fucking training shit. And the whole training was preparing for the possibility of having to invade North Korea, like going through the DMZ. So there were fucking colonels out there, generals. There were special forces guys out there. There were people from different branches. I think there were some Marines out there. Air Force personnel were out there. Like, we did this massive training mission, like, simulating what it would be like to bust through the DMZ. We got to use a MiGlick, which are, like, those little tow missiles they use for demining. It's like a missile. It's on the back of a trailer, and it's got a line attached to the back of it. And every, like, couple of inches, there's a block of C4. And the missile shoots out and it lands, and then it detonates all that C4 and it clears a path for vehicles to enter through, like a minefield. So we got to shoot those fuckers off. And then we did one of the largest live fire exercises out of the entire Army down at Fort Knox. And they kept telling us, like, if we're just waiting, like, you guys could be deploying to North Korea at any moment. Like, be prepared, have your shit packed and ready. Like, you guys could be deploying at a moment's notice. Like, the whole point of this unit was basically, like, within 24 hours, we could be ready to go on a fucking plane heading towards South Korea with the possibility of invading North Korea. And then, I guess some shit happened and it fell through. So we all got sent back to our units and stuff. But it was like, we really thought for like 3 months that we were going to be going to South Korea and sitting on the DMZ just waiting to invade North Korea. They had a whole plan set out for how it was going to be done. We trained for it. Like, it was fucking insane. And it was, even fucking CAG was out there training for that specific fucking thing. Like, that's how real we came, or how close we came to a war with North Korea. And then North Korea's biggest sympathizer is China. And then people are like, oh, I'm going to hop on fucking TikTok. Like, I don't give a fuck if China gets my fucking information. Like, we, a war with North Korea would pretty much be a war with China. Like, it.
I know, that's the only thing that saves North Korea from just getting their dicks knocked in the dirt is China.
Yeah, that's why they're saying? That's why they'll antagonize the United States. They're not scared of us because they think that China has their backs. They think if Daddy they go to China. War with us, yeah. And the whole Korean War that happened in between World War II and Vietnam, that was basically a war against the U.S. and China. Just our battleground was North Korea, or Korea back then. Like, we were fighting Chinese soldiers back then.
Dude, I on one of Jocko's podcasts, he had a guy on there from the Korean War, and it's like some pretty brutal combat that gets described in the book. This guy is just like, I think like his almost his whole squad got wiped out, and they fought for several days, and they killed like hundreds of Chinese troops. And then finally he like ran out of ammo and he was surrounded, and he tried to like run away and get away, but they found him and captured him. And then he was in a POW camp in Korea for, I think it was like 3 years, 3 or 4 years. And he was like, he almost starved to death the whole time. He was like a skeleton, and they tortured him. And it was just like horrendous, man, what this guy went through. But he survived, and then the war ended, and so they gave him back to the Americans, and he ended up coming back to the United States, and he stayed in the Army, and then he joined Special Forces, and then he went to Vietnam as an SF guy, and he got like some Purple Hearts and some medals and stuff, and was like a total badass. And, dude, the life that this guy lived is just fucking incredible, man. I wish I could remember that. And it was all about, he wrote a book, and it was all about his, and he's still alive today, this guy. And so Jocko had him on, and it was really cool, man. I wish I could remember the name of the book, but if I remember it later, I'll text it to you or something. You should just go at least go listen to that podcast on Jocko's show. But dude, it was badass, man.
Dude, the Korean War was intense, and they call it the Forgotten War because it was so close. Like, World War II was so big, and then Vietnam was so big. Like, all the people that fought in Korea, it kind of was just, like, completely forgotten. And it was brutal fighting. Like, the shit these guys went through, and the conditions in Korea, like, people don't realize their winters are fucking terrible. Like, it is cold as fuck in Korea. So not only are they fighting a pretty strong conventional army because it was China, but they're also fighting in terrain. Like, it's mountainous, shitty-ass terrain, and it's cold as fuck at the same time. So it was like, it had all the conditions of being just a fucking terrible war.
Yeah, I know, man. My one of my uncles fought in Korea, and my aunt was telling me he got Alzheimer's really bad, and then he passed away a couple of years ago. But my aunt was telling me, like, back in those days, I think it was pretty common for the military to put people in units with other people from like their hometown or wherever they're from.
Yeah.
So,
cause they had a draft back then.
Yeah. So I guess he like they were like, they fought for a few days and then they passed out because they were just like so exhausted from sleep deprivation. And then he woke up and like all of his buddies were dead. They all had got their throats cut. And I guess he was just like, they just made a mistake by not cutting his throat. And then he woke up and he was like by himself and everybody was dead. Like all these people from his hometown and stuff. And I don't know.
It's fucking insane. Yeah. And back then it was different too. Like people were glad to get drafted in World War II in Korea. And like there were people in World War II that killed themselves because they couldn't join the Army or Marine Corps. Like they were like the patriotism back then was fucking insane. Like well, versus dude, yeah, today, it was like that would never happen.
It was the whole country united against like evil, like Hitler trying to take over the world. And yeah, it was totally different than it is today, man.
We had that for like a brief moment after 9/11, but it's like, I don't know. People don't have that same. People like fucking hate America. Like they'll live here and they hate this fucking country.
Yeah, because they're ignorant and they've never fucking been anywhere. I've
like seen
that people that really live in like fucking mud huts and wipe their ass with their hand. A lot of people that don't like America or think that America has all these like terrible laws and restrictions of, I don't know, man. They just don't know anything about what it's like in other countries.
Like they want to talk about oppression. They should see how women live in the Middle East. Like, it's fucking, there was women getting fucking killed, like mothers getting killed for teaching their daughters how to read in Iraq.
Dude, in Saudi Arabia, they still stone people to death.
Yeah.
It's okay to do honor killings where, like, a family will, like, kill one of the young women in the family because of some indiscretion.
Yeah, and don't be gay if you live in the Middle East. You're fucking dead.
Well, dude. Yeah, Saudi Arabia, they throw gay people off of roofs of tall buildings and stuff and execute them just for being gay.
And we have all these protests in America, and right now there's a dude on death row in Iran for protesting something that the government was doing. Like, he organized a protest, they put him on fucking death row. And people want to talk all this shit about how bad America is. Like, at least you have the right to protest. Here in America, like, you go to fucking Iran, they'll kill you for doing the shit you're doing, like people are doing here.
Yeah, well, the reason that they don't have protests in a lot of these other countries is because when the protesters are out there protesting, the military and police just go out there and shoot them all.
Dude, it got so bad in Iran that even Trump, I think this week, Trump stepped in and he's asking the Iranian government to not kill this dude. And it was a totally peaceful protest. They weren't fucking anything up or nothing. They were just walking around with signs, like, literally protesting something the government was doing. I don't know specifically what it was, but I know it wasn't, like, this guy didn't do anything close to what people are doing here in America, and he's on death row.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. The Iran is another country that's just all... All these libs and people on CNN were like outraged when Trump okayed the missile to kill that Soleimani guy.
Yeah, which is fucking retarded. And then Iran tried to shoot missiles at the U.S. fucking military bases, and everyone's thinking that's okay. I had buddies. There were guys from my unit. Like one of my pretty close friends from my unit was in Iraq when that shit happened. Luckily, they knew ahead of time that Iran was going to launch a missile strike on them. So they evacuated. There weren't soldiers at those bases when they got hit. But, I mean, you know how fucked up that is?
Yeah. Well, I don't think the media is going to be happy until they start a civil war.
No.
Then they'll make more money off of that.
Dude, you know what's going to happen is if Trump gets reelected, we're going to see the worst riots we've ever seen in the U.S. Like, I firmly believe that.
Yeah, I've thought about that a ton, too, that, like, the libs are so pissed off and mad right now, and if he gets reelected, first of all, it's going to be fucking awesome, and second of all, I think that they will just riot and act crazy. But, dude, that's going to – I don't know, man. Like – if you want to just riot and be violent because the person that you want to be president didn't get elected, that's just like, there's, I've heard a lot of people that I really respect and that I know, like, obviously on both sides, there are people that are like kind of political extremists and they're just nut jobs really. But I've heard quite a few people that I really respect, guys that have done multiple deployments and they own successful businesses and stuff. And they've talked about like, eventually, you know, this may come to people picking up guns and just fighting it out in the streets. And really it's already kind of getting there because, you know, that 17-year-old kid that like
Kyle Rittenhouse
shot it. Yeah. I mean, I think that's going to happen more often, dude, because all these people are out rioting and burning people's businesses and livelihoods down. And that guy in, where was it, Washington or somewhere, he just shot a Trump supporter in the head with
just, you know, the U.S. Marshals killed him.
Yeah, good, dude.
To serve their warrant. He did an interview with Vice, and 2 hours later he got killed by the U.S. Marshals because I guess he, I don't know, I think he had a weapon or something and he was threatening them. That guy was a fucking mental case, though. They used his sister to identify him, and his sister said, we haven't talked in years. He's got mental health problems.
Well, dude, you know the media, just by spewing so much fucking garbage like they do all day long, that's gonna, what do you think that's gonna do to people with mental health issues or people that are really like impressionable, like young people, people with mental health issues? They're gonna believe, they believe that shit just like it's the God's honest truth, and then they turn into people like the guy we're talking about.
And then that Kyle Rittenhouse kid who shot those people. I mean, one, he was being like, someone had shot a shot off at him when he shot that first person. That first person was throwing shit at his head and trying to take his gun. So he shot him in the head. And then he tries to run away. He fucking trips and they're hitting him over the head with a skateboard. And one guy's got a fucking Glock pointed at him. So of course he's going to fucking shoot back. But then if they really want to blame someone, they should probably blame his damn mom who drove her 17-year-old son to Kenosha with a fucking gun. Like, I would not drive my fucking son to a damn riot with a fucking AR.
Just dropping little Billy off at the riot with his AR.
Like, what the fuck?
He's so sweet.
Like, I don't care what's going on. Like, if my fucking son said, hey, Dad, I'm a senior in high school, I'm going to fucking take my AR out of the riot, I'd be like, get back to your room, you fucking piece of shit. Like,
give me that gun. I'm going to put it in the safe.
Fucking retarded.
Yeah, dude,
who the fuck's going to drive their kid out to a situation where they could potentially get killed? I mean, just, like, tension's already high, and you see a white dude with a fucking AR-15, like, he's going to get shot at or something bad's going to happen. Like, that's a recipe for fucking disaster, especially a 17-year-old kid. Like, definitely is the one that needs to be fucking prosecuted, because that's just retarded. That is not how you raise your fucking kids. Like, I don't care how bad you disagree with the fucking rioting or whatever.
And all these people, dude, bad shit, no matter how you feel about if it's right or if it's wrong or whatever, like, what I think is funny is that all these people go out to these fucking protests and what they're looking, like, my buddy on his podcast the other day, he said, don't go to the orgy if you don't want to fuck.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Like, these people go into these riots and stuff, dude. Like, what do they expect to happen? You know what I mean? Like, if you go out there where people are burning shit down and fucking fighting with the police, and it's, you're going out looking for murder and mayhem.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised when you fucking find some, right?
Like, I mean, I support people's right to protest and shit, but
yeah, it gets taken too far. Like, yeah, people totally have a right to the protests, but I'm just saying, if you go drive down, like in Denver, I'm from Denver, and like entire downtown Denver has gotten destroyed by this, dude. All the cop cars are just beat to shit, and they've had like it's been pretty rough there, some of the riots, and they people know that it's going on. They're showing it on the news. So if you want to decide to go drive downtown and be in the middle of all that, you're kind of just taking a risk. Right off the top, you know what I mean? Like, my buddy was telling me that he went to downtown Denver when it was going on, and He said that they got down there, they opened the door of their car, and they were like right in the middle of downtown. The police are there in riot gear. People are throwing bricks through windows. There's shit's on fire. It just, it's crazy, right? He said as soon as they got out of the car, the SWAT team came rolling by, and they're hanging off the back of the SWAT team truck, and he got hit right in the face with a pepper ball as soon as he got out of his car. And like, and he said it was just nuts. And he, I don't know, man, but I'm like, shit, you saw this on the news. You saw that it looks like the end of the world on the news. And you said, oh, it'll be fun to go down there and check that out. The fuck did you think was going to happen?
Dude, I live near Charlotte when the George Floyd shit happened. Which, that was not a justified murder to fucking sit on some dude's, or put your knee on some dude's neck that long. Like, that was fucked up.
Yeah, but, dude, but the media manipulated that. Because yeah, they did. What happened was, dude, this guy went to buy some cigarettes. He used counterfeit money. And then they called the police on him. And then when the police came, they tried to arrest him and put him in the police car. And he resisted arrest for a good while. They tried to put him in the police car a good 5 or 6 times. And they couldn't get him in because he was resisting so bad. And then, like, I agree. Like, you don't just kneel on somebody's neck for, like, 9 minutes or whatever it was. Like, that's fucking ridiculous.
He was dead for a period of that fucking time. The dude still had his knee on his neck. And then tossed his body after the paramedics came. Like, that was just unprofessional as fuck and just wrong. But, the media created the fucking hellstorm that came afterwards. Like, in Charlotte, they were bringing the cops in on the city buses. Like, they were they shut down the city buses and brought cops in at night because the fucking protesting had gotten so heavy.
Dude, yeah. I mean, the protests are just nuts, man. I don't know. Like,
dude, I feel like I'm watching the Purge when I turn on the news and see, like, Portland and shit.
Yeah, and if the police... You know what? When the police show up, dude, I've had several interactions with police. I've actually been down to the county jail more than once. All right. And
isn't your dad a cop too?
Well, I don't want to get into all that.
Oh, true, true. Yeah.
You know what? If when the police come in, they catch you doing something illegal. You know what I've always done? I've been like, oh, you got me. You guys fucking got me. And they're like, put your hands behind your back. I just fucking do it. They ask me, you know, if I'm doing this or that. And I just say, I'm not going to say anything. I'd like to just talk to an attorney. No problem, dude. They take you down there to the jail. You sleep there for a night or two, or whenever somebody bails you out, you get an attorney. And that's how you fight the charges in court, man. You don't refuse to get in the police car and just...
That's another, unless you're dealing with the military, because when they fucking pulled me out of bed to question me after that shit happened, I fucking asked the investigator, when they brought me in there to talk to the two dudes, I straight up said, should I get a JAG or something? And they were like, no, you don't need a JAG, only guilt. Like, they tried to make me seem like I was guilty if I asked for a fucking JAG, which is like a lawyer. So they basically told me, no, you can't have a lawyer. But we're going to ask you questions about something that happened when this guy... tried to tell us that you were doing illegal shit.
Like, I know, man. The UCMJ is different.
They would not call it a fucking JAG. They would not, like, I straight up, because I knew ahead, like, I knew you needed a fucking lawyer. Like, I do not talk to cops or anything unless I have a lawyer present. And when I asked them that, they got fucking pissed at me and, like, started acting like I didn't drill sergeants or something and made it, like, this big-ass fucking deal and said, oh, you must have done it then if you want a fucking JAG. Like, dude, fuck you. Like, you're going to twist anything I tell you and use it against me.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, like, when that Eddie Gallagher stuff, like, when he started going on podcasts and giving his side of the story, I definitely could, like, I mean, obviously we don't know the guy. We weren't there, right? So we're not going to really know. But when you just think about, do things ring true to you or not? Does something sound like it's plausible or right? You know, when you started saying these things about how they, like...
Well, the crazy thing is his whole thing started over stealing a Red Bull and not paying a dude for a haircut. That's where his whole fucking case started. And then 6 months later, they said he killed a fucking injured Taliban member or something.
Yeah, well, so what if he did fucking do it? I mean,
like, then they try to get him on posing with the body for a picture. How many fucking soldiers, Marines, sailors, fucking airmen have posted for pictures with fucking dead terrorists? Like, a lot. If they had the opportunity. Like, I know for a fact.
Dude, that's what he got convicted of that. That was the only thing that he got convicted of was taking the picture.
And they tried in a way in his fucking rank. Yeah.
And then Trump told him to fuck off. And Donald Trump stepped in and wouldn't let him take the bird away and take the retirement away. Or they tried to, I think, knock him down one rank. And
they tried to knock him down on an E-1 and then not give him his retirement because he was at 20 years.
Yeah, a Navy SEAL who's done fucking 9 combat deployments or something, and they're trying to screw him out of his benefits.
Like, it was bullshit. But that's how they operate.
Fucking break.
It's fucking crazy. His story blew my fucking mind, and I remember the first time I heard it and, like, heard his side of it, I was like, his side sounds more accurate because I know how these motherfuckers operate.
Yeah, just throw a bunch of shit to the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
Type of prosecution.
Like, let's. And then trying to take his rank away because they lost was fucking bullshit. And I know for a fact, if I was given the opportunity to take a picture of the fucking dead terrorist, I probably would do it, not even thinking twice about it. And I know most of my buddies would do the same shit. Because, like, you're not going to think about that in the moment. And if you want fucking good fucking combat MOS guys, you're going to have that personality where it's like almost hunting to them. You know what I mean? Where it's like they're going to feel some type of pride in knowing they killed the bad guy. Like, you're not, like, unless you want a bunch of fucking pussy ass college kids to do this fucking job, you need to quit bitching about it.
Yeah, dude, it's just the type of person that does that type of job is the personality traits and the characteristics that make them good at that are also not good for other things. You know what I mean?
No. It's like back in World War II when they used to let people off prison sentences if they joined the Army or Marines. Like, it was because they wanted that type of person out there.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man.
Plus, now everything is political.
I know. And all these people, like, the police absolutely do make bad decisions and shoot people when they shouldn't and shit like that. But there's also a lot to the story that people don't know. And these cops are forced to make, like, split-second life and death decisions. And then everybody and their fucking brother wants to sit around at home on the couch and second-guess everything they did. And, dude... It's just not – when you have to think and do things that quickly, there's no way that, like, you're ever going to be right. I mean, did you see how they burned down that Wendy's and that guy
– Atlanta.
So he was driving drunk and then fought with the cops and then took one of their tasers and tried to shoot one of them with their own taser. And so they shoot the guy and then it's like, oh, let's have a fucking riot.
Like, what the fuck happens after that cop gets hit with those prongs from the taser? Like, he's going to drop, dude's going to take the gun.
They charged those cops with murder for that.
Yeah.
Like, what? Dude, if I was a cop right now, I couldn't retire fast enough.
Like, there was a point in time where my backup plan was to become a cop. And I would never do it in a million years. I worked a security contract position for CMPD. Charlotte's police department when I first got out of the Air Force. And I was like, I really had plans of becoming a cop at one point in time, and I would never do it now.
Dude, I would never do it either because, you know what? Like, depending on where you live, like, the mayor, the governor, none of those people are going to have your back, dude. Because when the mob starts chanting for your head, they're going to be on the mob side so they can get reelected.
It's all going to be political. After that dude in Kenosha got shot, they started asking for his fucking name, and they said if they don't release his name, they're just going to start releasing random cops' names from that town, which is fucking bullshit. You're putting – you want this dude's name who fired the shots at Jacob Blake, but you're going to put – you're going to threaten to put other cops in Kenosha's name out there and put their families at risk and their lives at risk? Like, what the fuck is that?
I know, dude. It's ridiculous. But you know what? These people that are demanding that the police be defunded and all of this other shit, I think in the long run, that could really come back to bite them in the ass, because there's a lot of peaceful, law-abiding citizens, like a lot of people that we know.
There's a lot of good cops out there. Like, I'll give
them. They're sitting around at home, and they're not participating in any of this shit. Yeah. But you know what? They're also getting sick of the bullshit and these people acting like exactly what you're talking about, like putting people's families' information out there, the riots, all the fucking terrible shit that they do. If the police get defunded and there's nobody to, you know, arrest them for whatever they're doing, there's also not going to be anybody to protect them from the real predators. And the real predators and people come out and start fighting with them, it's not going to be pretty.
There's so many good – like, I'll even give my fucking ex-wife's fiance credit. Like, he's a cop. But, like, he's a good guy. I'm a fucking asshole. Like, I fucking hate her guts. And I've said some fucked up shit. Me and him have gotten into it so many times. But he's always been, like, level-headed as fuck. Like, a lot more level-headed than me, because I'm really not that level-headed when I get pissed off. And so, see, like, interacting with him in situations where I've been so pissed off at her that he's intervened, it's like, I know that he's a good cop. Because if he can keep his cool dealing with me, where I'm just a straight-up fucking asshole cussing him out because he's sticking up for her, like, I guarantee he's doing a good job when it comes to dealing with people out on the streets. Like, and I feel like there's a lot of cops like that. Because I'm like, well, I could be the worst fucking asshole in the world when I'm pissed off.
Do you think people that are intelligent and capable and even keeled, like you're talking about, like good quality people to fill those cop jobs, do you think they're going to want to go and sign up to be a cop in the current environment?
Like, hell no. Because if you've got that mindset or you're that type of person, you can make more money doing something else.
Yeah, and it's not safe. You're going to go get thrown in jail for doing your job.
And what's fucked up is cops deal with a lot of – it's not the same situation, but they deal with the same type of stresses that you deal with in the military. Whereas I can get out and I can go do contracting, and I can make 10 times more than a cop does in 1 year contracting. They don't get that option. Like, as a cop, you're just fucking stuck. Like, what, 50 grand is probably the most you can make as a cop?
It depends on, like, where you live, but, I mean, for the amount of – it's definitely no matter how much you make. If you made 100 grand a year, it wouldn't be worth the risk in the current political environment.
I mean, I got – me and another dude from my unit were talking to a contracting company, and they offered us a little over $100,000 to go out there for 6 months to Afghanistan, for six fucking months. So the schedule would have been 6 months on, 6 months off. Our plan was to do one tour because our unit actually approved it. So we were going to do 1 6-month tour for, like, I think it was $105,000 tax-free. Or the first $90,000 was tax-free. I mean, that's double what a fucking cop makes in a year in a good city. And a lot of cops in these small towns only make, like, $35,000
a year. Yeah. I don't know, man. That would be – it's definitely not worth the money. Like, I've considered being a cop at different times, but it was getting to a point there for a while where I thought actually I was just going to go that route. But now I'm definitely just going to go to law school because it's not safe. It's not worth the risk. If anything does happen, you're never going to get the benefit of the doubt.
What kind of law are you wanting to practice?
Well, a lot of people have asked me that, but I really don't know, man. I'm more worried about just getting into school right now and then getting through school and before I worry about any of that.
I'm working with a lawyer right now. He's fucking awesome. He makes a killing, too. But he's got this cool – he just has a good personality to him.
Like Better Call Saul?
Yeah. He's professional as hell, but he's not at the same – like, he's just himself no matter what. Like, I'm sure if he's – when if we go to court or something and he's in front of a judge, he's going to be cool, but – and he handles shit that's tough. Like, he handles military stuff, and he's a civilian fucking lawyer. So that's a difficult fucking job to go through. And but I don't know. I mean, I don't think I could practice. I just don't have the interest to practice law, but it'd be a cool-ass career field, and it pays really well. Unless you do criminal defense. Criminal defense, I think you have to work your way up for years before you can make good money. Unless you're doing DUIs or something.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'll figure that out when the time comes.
Business lawyers make a shitload of money, though.
Yeah.
One of my dad's good buddies is a business lawyer. He's really successful. I think he enjoys it a lot.
Yeah.
But we've known him since I was a little kid. He's built himself up so much since I've known him. Well, I've known him my whole life, but it's just insane.
You got a big-ass house?
Yeah. Well, he still lives in the same house he's always lived in, but they've done so many renovations to it that it's like, it's a pretty cool-ass house. He does this big-ass barbecue once a year where he has all of his friends come. And it's just, every time you go there, his house is different. Like, he's done something else to his house. Huh. But he's a cool guy. I know business law pays really well because you need a lawyer for just about everything when it comes to starting a business.
Yeah, well, one thing I have thought about a lot is that I would like to be – I really enjoy negotiating, and I think it's fun, and I think I'm maybe kind of good at it. So I would love to be – I know – and there's a lot of negotiations that go on in business-to-business sales.
Yeah.
And, like, I think contract law is a
– Yeah.
Is a certain – so –
You can make a shitload of money doing mergers and stuff like that.
Or be like, represent like people, like be their agent if they're, cause one of my buddies knows a lot of pretty famous people. And
I think real estate pays well too. Real estate law.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that too. And especially commercial real estate.
Well, that's mostly where you'd need a lawyer is dealing with commercial properties. Like everyone, all the investors go like use a lawyer when they're negotiating properties and stuff.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of lawyers that do real estate law that's just between like private people because all the time, like. Somebody's trying to sell their house and then people sign paperwork and there's a certain closing date and then, you know, the buyer backs out at the last minute and things get all messed up. And
you can make residual income with that too if you work for a rental agency that buys houses or apartment complexes and rents them out. They constantly need a lawyer.
Out of a little bit of air. So can you blow it up?
Yeah.
Okay, come on.
Yeah, man. So, how much longer do you want to go on this?
We can wrap it up if you want.
All right, come on.
Yeah, I think my little boy is coming in north.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up.
Let my tip grow up.
Let's do a.
Make it a little bigger.
You want to try to do another one next week for my other podcast?
Yeah, dude, for sure.
You think it'd be free around probably next Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah.
We'll do one then.
All right, for sure. Well, when you post this, send me the link or whatever.
All right. You have an iPhone, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'll send you the link to the iTunes. It'll probably be up either tonight or tomorrow morning.
All right, cool. Well, take it easy, buddy.
All right, see ya.
All right, later.
Well, that's it. Thanks for tuning in. If you want updates on future shows or have ideas on how we can improve, follow us on Instagram at JJFCPod. That's JJFCPOD. And shoot us a message. We'll see you next week.